If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Row.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Row.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Row.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Row.
And it's time to begin the hour by checking in with the mayor of Carrboro, Lydia Lavelle, who joins us here in the studio. Welcome. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. I hope you are.
I'm doing good. Yeah. Ready for the weekend, though, because we were talking. I took a vacation last week, and this is the week after vacation when you're still in vacation mode and trying to recuperate and everything. So
it's an extra long
the
week.
The weekend will be nice. Yeah.
And especially the weather we've had the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. I think it's gotten everyone in the mood of finally being able to relax and enjoy the fall. There's
yes.
no hurricane coming.
Absolutely. So busy week for Carrboro and for you especially. You started the week on Monday with the mayor's roundtable. So let's start with that because I know you were really excited about that.
I was really excited about it, and I think everyone who attended had a really good time and learned a lot and said it was pretty awesome, which is nice. We ended up having about 50 people there, which I was really pleased with the turnout because it turned out there were several other events that evening. Mm-hmm. And we did, just for folks out there who were not able to make it, we Facebook Lived it. You can still see that on Facebook Live on our town page, but we're also having a more professional-looking recording of it that will be archived on the webpage also.
Awesome.
So we wanted to make sure we recorded it for posterity. So
yeah, what was discussed? What did you learn?
Yeah, it was it was in conjunction with National Planning Month, which meant that we had two members of our planning board ask each of the former mayors a planning-ish type question, starting out with Mayor Drakeford, who was the mayor in the 70s, and kind of how he, when he became mayor, he actually brought the town's first kind of professional kind of planner to the mm-hmm. town. And he actually himself was a graduate of the UNC School, the city and city-county planning department. So we talked a little bit about his initiative, how he rode in on a kind of a wave of progressivism via, I guess, the Carrboro Coalition at that time, mm-hmm. turning back the old guard a little bit. And then after him, Jim Porto was the mayor, and he talked about during his tenure, our comprehensive land use plan was adopted, which we actually are in the process now of kind of reviewing it again, but it has served us well over the years, and it was the brainchild of our town attorney, Mike Bro, who literally wrote the book on land use planning, mm-hmm. and that His land use plan has been used as a model in a lot of other communities in North Carolina. And then after Jim, we had former mayor and former state senator Ellie Kinnaird, who had her hand in just about everything, including she was at our board meeting this Tuesday night. I mean,
right,
she's still
right.
very active, but she, of course, is known for her preservation, her environmentalism, and she also helped get the McDougall Library going. And so there was some obviously common day themes with that mm-hmm. In terms of development. And then after that, we talked about Mike Nelson brought up his biggest development during his tenure was what's known as the Winmore development off of Homestead Road, and that was a somewhat contentious development, which ended up though being a kind of a unique development. I'm not sure it's completely filled out the way that they had envisioned it at the time, but it's a pretty cool development. And then Mark Chilton, during his time, was when we ended up passing the East Main Project and talked about how that changed
right,
the landscape
yeah.
of downtown and kind of set the stage for trying to increase our mixed use downtown, trying to increase our commercial tax base. Also during his tenure, we passed the first comprehensive bicycle plan. So yeah. it was really a cool review of just looking at planning decisions made over the years that have made Carrboro what it is today.
What if the question was posed to you, what is your biggest kind of, or the town's biggest achievement during your tenure, what would you say?
You know, I hope to say that it is the culmination of the 203
okay.
project, because that's certainly the one that is really exciting and current, and it would contain, not just the library, but some, arts programs and some other, WCOM, it's going to be, I hope it'll be just a wonderful, stamp that we have on the town mm-hmm. After I'm finished. But, Aaron, we've had actually several developments that have been, approved during my tenure, and it's been an awesome time to be mayor, because I reflected back on when Mark was mayor, a good bit of his years, you know, were during the recession. And so we had several developments approved during his time that never came to fruition, you know. So I luckily took office at a time when the economy was on an uptick. And so we're really able to get a lot done, I think.
I think that is the right answer to the question, though, not specifically 203, but to answer the question, if you're still the mayor, what is the greatest of thing with something that hasn't happened yet?
Right.
Because if you identify something that's already come to fruition, then it's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Yeah. Always striving for something else.
So yes. Going back, and a lot of those kind of big achievements go back to, and you mentioned it, the comprehensive plan and the decision to really sit down and decide how land was going to be used and what the vision of Carver was going to be. And insofar as this was kind of in conjunction with Planning Month, that had to have been a pretty significant part of the conversation. So for people who don't know and want to know more about the ins and outs of local government and the intricacies of how it works, what is it about a comprehensive plan that makes it particularly important?
Yeah, I think it involves first a vision for a community, you know, a kind of here's where we are, here's where we want to go, and there's some incorporation of values into that plan. And so, you know, some thoughtful planning way back when as to how are we going to incorporate bike lanes, greenways, you know, how are we going to incorporate, you know, mixed use, where do we want to have our commercial, you know, high rises in Carver, which is, like, you know, five stories. You know, just really kind of thoughtfully thinking about that. Where do we want gathering spaces? What do we want our, you know, requirements to be as far as, you know, art or open space? I mean, open space was a huge one, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some thoughtfulness around affordable housing. And I think that's part of the reason why we want to revisit our comprehensive plan at some point here soon, which we're starting the process of that, because we're bumping up against, I think, especially with, you know, climate change and so on, in our community, you know, climate change plan. You know, we're bumping up against wanting to just have it be as strong and as green as it can be, and also addressing, you know, things like affordable housing and, and bicycle, you know, integrating, if you will, more of our bicycle plan into it. Aaron, one more thing about the roundtable that you would really like, too, is there was a really cool collegiality that went on. And one of the question I did not ask them that I would have liked to ask them, but I'd rather ask them in private, would have been, you
so
know,
as to maintain the collegiality?
Right,
or?
Well, so as not to be scared of the answer out in public.
Gotcha.
But the question would have been, what lesson do you have for me, you know, as a former mayor? Now, some of them, one of the questions that was posed to them was, what was your biggest regrets, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's a little bit of it. But to have asked them, you know, what advice can you give to me while I'm sitting in this seat that I may not know yet and that you have learned as you've, you know, phased out and can kind of look at it from a distance, right? But it was really so you could see with each mayor, you know, how thoughtful, how smart, how educated, how, you know, even today, talking about Carver issues, they're reflective, they're poised, they're thoughtful, and in every single one of them, you know, to a person, you know, just talked about, you know, Carver is just the most wonderful place to govern and to be a part of you know, of a progressive community.
Have you had that conversation with some of the mayors? I know you worked directly with Mark Chilton and Ellie Kinnaird for a while.
Which conversation?
What lessons did they have for
you? I have not. No.
Okay.
We all shared a sandwich right before it began, and I thought, I should ask them this, and I thought, maybe I better not.
So. Rather enjoy the sandwich, right?
Right.
Speaking with Carver Mayor Lydia Lavelle, so that was on Monday. Tuesday, right, was when the Board of Aldermen met for the next time with quite a few items on the agenda, I think, this week.
Yeah, we had several items, and again, it was at a WASA, and want folks to know who wouldn't necessarily know, for the first time, we streamed it from OWASA, so you could watch it live from home on Facebook Live, you know, because we don't have the recording equipment that we have at Town Hall. So we had one project public hearing, or actually CUP public hearing on a project that got continued again, the Sandaling project, and then we had some other items. One of which was a presentation on the North Carolina 54 West Corridor study that our local MPO commissioned, and it was funded by the MPO. DOT covered part of it. We covered part of it, and actually Graham covered part of it, because the study actually goes all the way from Graham to Carborough. And essentially, the study was pretty much to study whether and where the highway might end up being widened from two lanes to four lanes with occasional medians. And it noted along the way, we already have some stoplights, kind of noted some areas along the way, there were some traffic counts, and they were exactly where you thought they might be, up near 54, and then as you get closer to Carborough and so on. But a lot of safety spots that need to be addressed. But just kind of talking about over time how, given demographics, given how people travel, that it appears that in 15 to 20 to 25 years, there may be a need to widen parts of that mm-hmm. road. Now, we raised concerns when the study was presented, not just at the MPO meeting, but also at our meeting. And in fact, when they commissioned this study, Damon Siles and I raised some concerns what are our plans for, transit and the university's plans for park and rides and how might those and some other traffic patterns around the community and how might those affect these supposed traffic counts? Mm-hmm. Are these really accurate traffic counts? It kind of reminded me of DOT wanting to widen Smith Level Road to four lanes, and we kind of fought them for a long time, and we have two lanes now, and we're moving along pretty well there. I think we'll probably, it's not funded yet. It'll be 10 years before this even, before most of it even became a reality, although one piece of it might happen earlier. But as it approaches, I think future, elected officials in the area, Carborough and Orange County, and in Alamance, I guess, but Orange County is where I am, we'll need to kind of examine and determine, is this something that we really, really need? And do we really want to encourage this also? So, but it was a really interesting presentation.
How much of that that study addresses the future of kind of development along that road? I know there's a lot of concern about Graham growing and Mebane growing and Carborough growing, but then there's 54 as well.
Well, it's all absolutely informed by that.
Right.
Because what they do is, you're exactly right, they plug in what the zone is and they assume some metric of build out and mm-hmm. As Damon pointed out, I think in our MPO meeting, those people all coming down 54, they're not all going to Carborough. They're going to the university.
Yeah,
So the university is the big player in the room, And so as the university, the university is kind of breaking out how it operates, right? It's not really adding on as much on its main campus. Some of its hospitals are being built out and about, and again, the transportation infrastructure they have set up, all of that will really influence the mm-hmm. traffic flow, I think.
So what are the next steps as far as the 54 study goes?
It was just for our board to receive it and offer any comments, but it's just basically a commission study, and if and when in some time down the years, the MPO decides to move forward with some piece of that, all the kind of powers that be through the scoring process, it'll move forward in some way.
If in 6 years the MPO wants to move forward, will there need to be another study commission? Will this information be 6 years old at that point?
I think the intent is that this should be fairly reliable.
Okay.
And it did break out into like five or six phases, right?
Okay.
And so there would be one phase that would be the first phase. I think the very first phase is the one closest to Carborough that they identify, and the second mm-hmm. one might be the one on the Graham end. So, unless there's some reason to think that the study was false, or if perhaps we've had some, other influence that may have changed it, I couldn't see why they would do that.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarborough.org is the town's website for more information. And again, as you mentioned, you can go there and get the video from can you get the stream from the meeting? Is that online now? Or
You can get, I'm not sure if it's on our webpage yet, but I know it's on Facebook Live.
Yeah, and so. It will be on the webpage,
definitely,
right? It should be.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Definitely.
So head to the website, townofcarborough.org. Or get the video from the meeting as well as the mayor's roundtable from Monday. Other things that happened at that meeting that people want to know about?
That might be it for really interesting mm-hmm. things that our viewers care about for the meeting. A couple of things this weekend I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this weekend is the Friends of the Library book sale, the annual mm-hmm. book sale. I think a lot of people mainly learn about that by seeing big kind of banners strung up in town. But I want to be sure folks knew about that. It's a way that the Friends raise their money, and it's at McDougal Cafetorium, And the hours on Saturday are from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and on Sunday from 1 to 4. And so go over there, get a bunch of books. It's a really fun time.
And they really, like, fill up the cafeteria there.
They fill it up. In fact, yeah. I came from there on my way over here.
Okay.
I stopped by there.
Oh, because they're already
them.
Setting it up.
Yeah. They go in there right after the students are out on Friday afternoon, and they set it up. The other event I want to make sure folks know about is this is the week of the West End Poetry Festival. And it actually kind of kicked off on Wednesday. And right now, there was some stuff last night, but tonight at 6:30 there is an event at Flyleaf Books, and there's a really great lineup and includes a couple of folks, the poet laureates actually of Hillsboro, Carrboro, and then also Jackie Shelton Green, our North Carolina poet laureate, mm-hmm. will be there also. And then on Saturday is kind of the final day, which is kind of the workshop day, and that begins at 12 at the Century Center. And the theme of this year is called Intersections. And so there's a panel that'll be a part of that. And there's a lot of readings and some, you know, really well-known kind of poets there. And so that'll be a really cool way to spend Saturday, especially if it's raining.
One of my favorite things about the West End Poetry Festival from previous years, and I haven't been downtown on this end of Franklin Street in the last couple of days to see if it's there, but the town always has the lit up electronic sign as you're rounding the corner onto Main Street saying "slow down for poetry." Is that there this year? Because
I haven't driven in from
that
direction.
That is my favorite thing. That is my favorite sign all over. We've got Lydia Lavelle here in the studio again. West End Poetry Festival going on through tomorrow. Is it westendpoetryfestival.org is the website if you want more information
that.
Yep. And then finally, as we wrap up, town has just, I think today, right, started the
Saturday.
So they'll start tomorrow. Commissioning a survey of residents. So what should people expect there?
Exactly. This is our second time we're doing this survey. Mm-hmm. And so beginning tomorrow, our consultants that are working for the town are going to start calling residents. I think they'll call more than 400 residents and ask them for their opinions on different areas that they interface with local government: solid waste, taxes, safety, quality of life, you know, customer service, and so on. And then this will happen through November 18. The survey takes about 25 minutes, and it's about 60 questions. We got good participation last time.
Okay.
And so really would appreciate folks, you know, taking the time to respond to this survey, because it really is important. For one thing, we have a benchmark from 2 years ago. We can see if we're improving or if we're having issues in certain areas where we didn't before. We can see what's important to people. Mm-hmm. But this is a really important survey, the one really that hits close to home for folks. And I hope that if you get called, please try to answer. So there's three basic parts to it again: to get to see trends, to see changes, and also we ask some demographic information because we want to make sure that our sample we get is scientifically representative of our population.
Are you going to call 400 residents, or are you going to call enough residents to get 400 responses?
That's a great geeky question.
This is what happens when you talk to Tom Jensen every week on Thursdays. You start to pick up on
I'm told that
we will
start calling more than 400. And just for an extra bit of geek you might like, the margin of error will not exceed 5%.
Okay, there you go.
So that helps.
So what, if you can remember, were the results from, was it, how long ago was the last one? Was it a couple
years
ago? 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Well, we were actually really pleased because it was the first time we had done such a survey. Mm-hmm. And
I remember the numbers being pretty high in terms of satisfaction.
They were very, very good. I think we had some, and this wasn't, you know, by any means any trouble area, but I think there was some questions about some aspects of public works, mm-hmm. I think. And there was some other area too. I don't think it was Parks and Rec, but there was some note, maybe facilities, or I can't quite remember. It might have been just simply because we don't have that many facilities, or maybe availability or something like that. But I know part of what our board, in general, number one, it was a really good survey, but part of what our board will get in January when it is expected back to us is we'll get to see that. We'll get to see what were our trouble spots, or our lower spots, mm-hmm. last time, and what's the change this time. So that'll be really interesting to see.
Awesome. Again, townofcarrboro.org is the website. Go there and get more information. Other things going on that people want to know about?
I think we've about covered it.
All right. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.